I have changed my mind a few times about what I would talk about today. I actually had a couple of ideas that I had been stewing over for a couple of weeks. And then last Sunday, after services, I went to a going away party for Sean. And it stirred my heart to think about our young people here at Kleinwood. We have a lot of them, don't we? Have you heard them this morning? They're a blessing to us. Even the little babies that mamas are wrestling with today. And maybe you're up and down and you're in and out and you get about 12% of what is ever said up here, right? You are a blessing to us. And bringing your kids and going through the struggle is a blessing to them. So we have you in on this too. We're blessed with a lot of little infant children. And then all the way up. What got me started thinking about all this is the kids who are going to be going back to school soon, right? I know that Tomball starts on Tuesday of this week because I will be working from home that day, as I always do on the first day of school. That helps me stay close to God during that period. And then Klein starts on Wednesday, and I will also be working from home on Wednesday, right? I don't know when the rest of your school starts because, frankly, your traffic doesn't affect me. But Klein and Tomball too, and so I always check the schedule for that. And then I don't know about the homeschoolers, because I know for some homeschoolers, that's like all year round, right? So I don't know if you are starting up in August. Maybe some of you are. Maybe the co-op kids, which I don't really think is homeschool, by the way. That was a cheap shot, wasn't it? Y'all know how untraditional that schedule can be sometimes too, right? And really even more than that, I was thinking about the kids we graduated this past spring, because we graduated a lot of kids here. And they're not going off, well, they're going off to school, but they're going off to school, right? So kids are heading down to Tampa this week. Got some kids head up to Nacogdoches in the next couple of days. I found out that, where's Brooke? Is Brooke sitting here somewhere? Brooke is heading off to Oklahoma, and she didn't tell me until like late last week. You were hiding that from me. She thought I would talk her out of it. So she's going off up there. Got a couple of guys who are headed off for military service. And I'll just be honest with you about that. I hate this. I know we raise our children not to stay at home forever. I get that. But this part where they grow up after we've had them in our family for a long time and we've built close relationships with us, and then they leave us and sometimes never come back, I hate that part. I know it's the plan. I just still don't like it. I hate to see our kids go away. And so as all of that was stirring in my minds over the last few days, I thought I'd like to use today to say something to our young people who are part of our church family, who are so important to us. And I decided, after considering several options, to focus this morning on the book of Proverbs, if you'll be going there in your Bible. One of the reasons I settled here isn't just because Proverbs is by Bible students considered to be a book of great wisdom, but I like the way the wisdom is given in so much of this book. It is these short, little, to-the-point snippets of wisdom that often just easily connect to life, that the Spirit tells us something that we can immediately see its relevant use in day-to-day life. And that's the main thing that I was thinking about when I started looking at the book of Proverbs. Some little pieces of wisdom that are found here that we can grab and literally can be a light for our walk every single day, can have relevance to us and usefulness to us every single day. And so I will be honest with you and tell you, first on my heart, I'm thinking about you guys and our young people and some wisdom that will help them. But you know that anything that's coming from God's word is not going to be limited to them, right? So it's not time to tune out or just to think about the kids. I want to encourage everybody, just think about yourself and how you could take these little nuggets of wisdom and let them stir in your mind through the day and impact your walk every day. And so I have some places like this marked in my Bible. How about you? Can you flip a few pages in Proverbs? Do you have some places that you've marked because they have made a special impression on you? So that's what I did. I went and looked at some of the places that I had marked or highlighted that for some reason I had found especially useful, that it stuck with me. And I collected them. You'll be surprised. I collected three of them, right? Because every sermon ought to have 3 points. And so that's what we're going to do today. That I found especially meaningful to me, that are marked in my Bible. This is one of them. Proverbs chapter 5 in verse 21, where the wise man says, hey, this is cool. I could read it on the screen in the back now. If I'm looking back here, y'all keep looking up there. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. Can you figure out what that's saying? Because some of the Proverbs, you have to think about a little bit. You got to kind of untangle them because the message is not always immediately clear. This is not one of those Proverbs, right? We read that and we immediately know what the wise man wants us to know. That God knows everything that we do. And that's an idea over and over and over again you will find in your Bible. That nothing escapes the notice of God. He sees everything. There's no place on earth that I can go that he cannot see. There's no effort that I can make on my part to hide my conduct, to cover up what I'm doing. I can't hide from him. Now, I will tell you, that's kind of a two-edged sword. Because sometimes I think we can find great comfort in that reality when you're going through a season and life is difficult. And maybe it's not just that you're going through a season, but you're going through a bad season and people you were counting on are not there for you. You're not getting the support that you need. Have you ever been at that place where you just felt like, I am all alone here? And I have nobody to stand with me and to be with me. Have you ever felt that way? And yet for people who are walking with God, we know that isn't true. You could feel that way in a moment. It's just that reality is the opposite. That whatever else is going on and whoever else has forgotten me, God has never forgotten me. In fact, God is looking down at whatever I'm going through. He knows exactly the nature of the problem. He understands it better than I do. He attends to me. He draws closer when it's bad. And he promises rescue in my hour of trouble. Isn't that great? So I want to say to young people, when you're off at school and you feel like I'm the only one at this school that's trying to do what Jesus wants me to do, or you're in the dorm and there's just all kind of wickedness and bad stuff going on in the dorm and you think, I am all alone, I am all by myself, God lives in that dorm too. And he's at your school. And he sees everything that's going on with you. And I just think there's great comfort in that, isn't there? But there's a flip side to that, too, and we need to be honest about it. That's also a terrifying reality, that God sees everything that I do. Because sometimes I'm doing stuff I should not do. And sometimes my behavior is wrong and sinful. And what I would like to do is cover that up and keep it private. But the reality is that when I've gone off to some secret place or I've taken all these steps to be sure that nobody knows what I'm up to, as I begin to set out to do that thing, the windows of heaven are open and God is looking down and God sees everything. You know what you have to do to be able to sin willfully like that? You got to shut that off from your mind. You got to put that out of your head. It's interesting that this Proverbs is found right in the middle of a section that is devoted to sexual sin. If you back up to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1, Proverbs 5, verse 1, the wise man says, "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." You see where he's going with that? In fact, verse 20, which is right before verse 21 in chapter 5, verse 20 says, "For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner?" And you just follow that too through chapter 6 and chapter 7. All of this is dealing with sexual sin. And that's what people think. People think that they can become involved in sexual sin because they're going to get off in some private spot where nobody knows, or they'll be in a huge crowd, lost in a crowd at a Coldplay concert, right? The truth is, before the kiss cam got them, God already knew. He saw all the filthiness of that. I think it would be useful to carry that thought every single day. As you go to work, off to school, back to the dorm, God is with me the whole way, sees everything that I do. I think I have told y'all before my distaste for reality shows. Have you heard me say that? I don't like reality shows because that is absolutely a contradiction. There's no such thing as a reality show. You do realize that the only reason you can watch a reality show is because as those people go about their lives, they are followed by cameras and microphones and lighting, right? And a staff of people who are responsible to record those events. And listen, I haven't spent that much time in front of a camera, but I spent enough time to know that when the lights go on and the camera turns on, nobody behaves like they usually behave. We put on our best behavior if other people are going to be watching what we do, right? So it's not reality. It's performing for the camera. Here's the thing I'd like you to remember. My life and your life is a reality show with an audience of one. We may hide our lives from everybody else. You may be hiding your true life from your spouse. But Hebrews says in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Look at the two things that are put together there. God's perfect knowledge of my life and coming judgment. I won't answer to my wife before God in judgment. I won't answer to my parents in the day of judgment. I answer to one and I've hid nothing from him. My life is a reality show, every word, every action on display. So when you huddle with your kids your friends in the lunchroom, or teammates in a locker room, or you go back to the dorm and close the door, or your bedroom after mom and dad go to bed and hop on the internet, you text your boyfriend or your girlfriend, watch a movie at a friend's house, take an algebra exam, your ways are before the eyes of the Lord. And he watches. Carry that with you every day. I have marked in my Bible this proverb from Proverbs 12 and verse 15, where it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." I like this one too. This proverb, I don't think, is intended just to speak to the person who is convinced that what he is doing right. I think in most things, everybody believes that the choice they're making or the path they're taking is the right path. This guy is different. It's not just that he believes he's right. He's arrogant about that. So much so that he's not willing, not open to listening to anybody else. He doesn't seek any counsel. He doesn't look for any advice. And any that comes his way, he shuts it down. Why? Because I am going to do what I want to do. And I listen to this. This is culture, right? I don't want anyone else telling me how to live my life. And so maybe even when people try, he doesn't listen. I had a moment like that with a roommate of mine when I was in college. It was the end of semester. He and I shared one class, and we had a final coming up the next day. And so it was college, okay? It was late. I was probably getting started about 11 and prepping for an all-nighter of study and tacos, right? Because that's the way that worked for me. And so follow this, Jeff. This is important. I cleaned up my workspace. I got everything nice and tidy. Are any of y'all that way too? I had spent 30 minutes cleaning up the desk before I could start studying. And so I get everything cleaned up, and I'm sitting down getting started as my roommate, who's got to take the same final, by the way, is crawling up in his bed. I said, aren't you going to study? And he said, oh, I am. I read an article about this new technique. He said, what I did is I read my notes onto a cassette tape. That's an ancient way to record stuff, young people. And then he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play those in my ears while I'm sleeping. And this article said that if you'll do that, your subconscious picks it up and you don't have to study. You'll just recall it on the test. Why are y'all snickering at that? I thought it was pretty dumb too. For two reasons. Number one, this was a final, right? This was not the time to test the theory. That number two just sounded like a dumb theory, because if that worked, it seemed to me college kids would have figured that out a long, long time ago, right? And so I began to try to work on my friend and say, I don't think you ought to do that. I think this is a really bad idea. I think you need to stay up and we need to study for the exam. And he was committed to the course of action, and follow me now. He didn't want anybody to tell him different. Frankly, I just think he wanted to go to bed and sleep. Y'all want to guess how that turned out? Randy's kind of smirking down here on the front row. I think you know how that was going to turn out. Have you ever known somebody like that? It happens with dating relationships, right? One of your friends is dating, ladies, some guy that is just a bad choice. And everyone tries to tell them. And they're like, nope, I know. Don't try to tell me that. Or same thing, a guy is dating some girl, and she is not right. She is not the one for him. She's not a good person. But he don't want to hear it because she's really pretty. And he's convinced that makes this right. More importantly, have you ever been that person? You know, the sad thing about it, folks, is even if I don't want to hear the truth, I don't want any counsel, I want to go my way, and I'm convinced it's right. If it's not, the consequences are still going to come crashing down on me, whether I believe it or not. That's why Scripture says it's the fool that's right in his own eyes. What's he saying? That is a really dumb choice. We have lots of decisions to make every single day. I know some of the decisions aren't a big deal. Maybe your friends are saying, don't wear that again. The shirt does not match the pants. And you think, I think it does. The worst that's going to happen there is people will say, obviously he doesn't know how to dress himself, right? But some decisions are really important. Worse yet, some decisions are really important and we don't get it. We don't see how they're really important. So am I going to look at pornography? Got to make a choice about that. Everybody does. Young people do. Especially when you get away from home and mom's parental controls are gone and it's all you doing what you want to do. We got to make a choice about pornography. And maybe you think, that's no big deal. It's in the privacy of my dorm. Nobody sees. Nobody knows. I will tell you something. We had a kid in our church family, still a teenage kid, that is doing 10 years in federal prison because of where that habit took him. It didn't seem like a big deal. It's a life alter. His life will never be the same, folks. Every job he gets from then on, you know what he's going to have to write down? I'm a registered sex offender. Am I going to drink and experiment with drugs with my friends? Am I going to give in to my boyfriend or my girlfriend's pressure to have sex? Am I going to cheat to cover the fact that I played video games all night and didn't study? Will I lie to stay out of trouble? Things that at the moment may seem small that may have huge life-changing implications. You got to make decisions all the time. All of us do. And isn't it a blessing that God has put people in our lives to help us with that? To give us counsel. Obviously, he began by speaking to us in his word. If you're still in Proverbs, go back to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. This is Proverbs 1 and verse 7 at the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There it is again. And that he's given us people to help us understand his counsel and his word. So if you've got a mom and dad who are sitting here in church with you and have kept a Bible open at home so that you could hear that and learn from it, you've been blessed by that. And Proverbs talks about that. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When they walk, when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and teaching is light. And the proofs of discipline are the way of life. And so God says, I'm going to give you a mom and dad who will help you see that, who will give you counsel based on the light that's in God's word. And there are other people. You're going to have to sit in churches like this and hear this as you make your way through the growing up years and in Bible classes with teachers who talk about that. There are shepherds of this church who say things to you periodically. You've got friends who care about God who are trying to get you to do the same. Their parents may say things to you as well. You're going to have all this counsel and wisdom and guidance offered. The question is, what are you going to do with it? You know what the real question is? Am I going to be a fool and ignore the counsel of wise people in my life who are trying to help me walk with God? Or am I going to be wise and listen to the counsel of the godly people trying to help me serve God? I think we need to think about that every single day. I got all these decisions to make. Am I going to listen? Or am I going to be determined to go my own way? Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. I hope you can see the connecting threads between that proverb and the last one. This was one of the very first ones that I marked in one of my very first Bibles a long, long time ago. And that is because this verse is one that has stuck with me. It's made an powerful impression on me, partly because it is a verse that terrifies me. Does this verse scare you too? When I read this, I'm reminded that I can be determined to do something or to think something or to believe something or to go down a certain path, and I can be convinced that this is the right way to go and be absolutely wrong about that. It's a verse that reminds us about the ability we have to deceive ourselves. And then, because I'm deceived about the true nature of the choice or the path I've chosen, to suffer the consequences that go with it. The road ends somewhere. And if it's the wrong path, it doesn't end well. There is a similar passage in the Sermon on the Mount. If you'll jump ahead to Matthew 7. I think about this one too. Matthew 7. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Does that verse scare you? It does me. Because even in the realm of religion, of spiritual stuff, I can think that I'm believing the right things and doing the right things, only to find out I'm wrong about that. And I'm not. So what do we do about that grave danger of being self-deceived about the path I'm on? The answer of Scripture is discernment, godly discernment. If you back up to verse 15, Jesus warns about that. This is verse 15. Beware of the false prophets. Not all religious teaching is equally true. Jesus tells us there are people out there that are behaving as though they're my prophets that are speaking for me, and they are false. They're not. Don't hear them. How do we know who they are? Because he says, who come to you in sheep's clothing, in verse 15, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Their appearance belies who they really are. Verse 16, he adds this. Do you see this? He said, you will know them by their fruits. And again, verse 20, so then, you will know them by their fruits. You got to look at what they're saying and what they're doing and discern what is true and what is not. You realize that one of the most important abilities we need to have in life is the ability to discern, to know the difference between what is true and what isn't. What path is right and what path is wrong. Where does that ability come from? Go back to Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at Proverbs 2, verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. Are you there? I want to read a good bit of this. Verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then verse 5 says, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. What's the wise man say? God has the wisdom and he gives it. But it requires something from us. Randy would want us to pay attention to the words, right? So you go back up to verse 1, receive, treasure, make your ear attentive, incline your heart, cry, lift your voice, seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure. If someone told you there was treasure buried in your backyard, a fortune in gold, how hard would you work to find it? God said, will you value my wisdom like that? Will you seek it with that kind of urgency and passion? Because if you will, I will give it to you. And it will guard your paths. We protect ourselves from this danger by passionately seeking God's wisdom. And when you find it, trust it. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. Last passage, chapter 3, verse 5. The wise man says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. And do not lean in your own understanding. You heard that one, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You hear it? Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Once you know it, trust it. Don't listen to the other voices. Don't let somebody deceive you about what's right. Hear it from God. Be discerning. If it's what he says, it's what he wants, trust it. Do it. And it'll bless your life. Those are my three. Marked in my Bible. And I would guess that there are probably some folks sitting here saying, I can't believe he didn't use this one. Great. Here's what I want you to do. Share that with your kids and grandkids on the way home. Would you do that? Or maybe whenever school starts this week, on that first day before they get up and leave, if you're in Tomball, it'll be Tuesday, before they get out the door. Hey, I want 30 seconds. I want to add a proverb to David's list. Think about this one. Maybe you could do that every single day as your kids head off to school. Give them a little piece of wisdom for Proverbs to chew on throughout their day. If you're homeschool parents, I know y'all do regular devotionals from the Word. How about this? How about adding to your devotional? Here's your proverb for the day. Think about this. Chew on this one all day long. If you're old enough to read your own Bible, then quit depending on mom and dad. Get your own Bible, go to Proverbs, and start just working through it. Even if it's a couple of verses every day, work through it. Grab a highlighter. Mark some of these that are important to you. Grab one every day, one that you can think about, and allow it to impact what happens every day. If you do that, maybe it'll help you. Maybe it'll help you through all of the clutter, see God's wisdom clearly, discern the good from the bad, and stay on his path. You guys are a great blessing to us. All of you are. Hope the school year is great. And if you're going off college somewhere, please know that we've conspired with your parents to hire spies to keep an eye on you. That's not true. We don't need to. Because the eyes of the Lord are on your path. He's watching every day. May God bless you in your school year. What path are you on this morning? Maybe there's a recognition, even as we talk about this wisdom, that it isn't God's path and you need to get back on his path. Maybe you have enough discerning in your heart to know, I need to make some changes. Maybe come to the Lord for the first time or get back on his path. Folks in this church family would love nothing more than to help you with that. You just need to let us know your need. So Stephen's going to lead us in this song. It's to encourage you. And if you need to respond, just make your way down to the front. Come on down while we stand, while we sing.